Well, the last time we had a conversation with Rick Dunn and Aaron Budras was on the phone, teeing up the first information session ahead of a new era of work to remove the Kinneytown Dam, which is in Seymour. And today we are guests here at the Naugatuck Valley Council of Governments, talking to Rick and Aaron again, picking up part two of our interview. It's been probably around 6 months or so since we chatted. A lot of information has been shared and transacted, and now we're going to pick up the conversation and talk about a little bit about the history of this project, some of the most important benefits, and then spend the rest of our time talking about the progress that's been made on the project so far. So, Aaron, we go back to 1845 with this project, and it really, as I'm thinking about it, it really seemed like the Industrial Revolution kind of robbed us of some critical environmental features fundamentally changed the Naugatuck River and its course and its environmental aspects, wildlife, topography, the list goes on and on. This project is really kind of stepping up to give the Naugatuck Valley back in some respects the environment it lost in 1845 and the damage that's been done since because of the Kinneytown Dam and a number of other dams that have already gone away. So let's just quickly give us a recap of the history. If you could transport us from 1845 probably to around, 2022.
All right. Well, yeah. So, you know, when Europeans showed up here, there were migratory fish going up the Naugatuck River. There was a major source of food for the Native Americans that were in the area, and for early settlers as well. But, you know, those settlers saw the power of the Naugatuck River and other rivers in Connecticut, and especially Naugatuck, because it's steep, it's fast moving. They saw the power that it could run mills and early mills and textile factories all sprung up along the river. It really started, degrading the environment. And then, the 20th century industry, really polluted the river and sewage from residents and from businesses as well. In the 20s and 30s and 40s, the river was really a dead river. All the way through the 60s and 70s, the river even caught fire in Ansonia in the 40s, which is hard to believe. But with the Clean Water Act passage in the 70s, and a lot of work done by the municipalities along the river to improve their wastewater treatment facilities, and stopping all of the illicit flows into the river, I feel like the Naugatuck River is really one of the nation's biggest environmental success stories. Mm. There's bald eagles, in Waterbury, peregrine falcons. There's all this wildlife is returning to the river, and sort of the last sort of key to restoring it to its full potential is removing the Kinneytown Dam. Right now, Kinneytown is blocking all fish passage to, almost the entire Naugatuck watershed. Mm.
So I was going to say, like three or four generations were born, raised, and died, and they only knew the Naugatuck River as this sequence of dams, kind of like from the Torrington all the way down to the confluence of the Housatonic and even further. So it's amazing now, as you pointed out, to see the bald eagles, to be driving along and seeing groups of guys in their waders fishing and taking fish home and eating those fish. Right. I mean, I grew up in Waterbury in the 60s, and I certainly remember those nasty days of the river, and it really is a wonderful thing to see now. So this restoration strategy that DEEP initiated. That was really kind of the icing on the cake, right?
Yep. So in the 90s, DEEP looked at, you know, restoring fish passage to a lot of the rivers in Connecticut. And on the Naugatuck, they, you know, they saw there were a bunch of barriers. There were six or seven smaller dams in Waterbury and in Naugatuck and all along the river. And as part of a plan in the 90s, they started removing those dams, leaving really the Tingyu Dam in Seymour and the Kinneytown Dam. And in the 90s, you know, they the owners of the Kinneytown Dam at the time were ordered to install a fish passage facility. So they built a fish ladder, which never really worked properly. So, you know, it was passing a few fish every year. And then, you know, DEP also installed a fish passage at Tingyu Dam more recently. Mm-hmm. You know, that really should have opened up the entire river. But thanks to, you know, people like Kevin Zack, who's an advocate in the area on the river, mm-hmm. You know, he really noticed that, you know, fish were not even able to make it up to Tingyu when that fish passage was installed. So, you know, we started investigating the Kinneytown Dam passage and realized it was really not working at all. And then when hydroelectric generation ended at Kinneytown, that really pretty much ended all fish passage as well, because it changed the flows through the fish ladder and really attracted fish to the bottom of the dam rather than to the fish ladder itself.
So getting the fish up the river is a big anticipated outcome of this Kinneytown removal project.
It is.
But the removal project also is really, really important for getting a lot of stuff down the river that's kind of pocketed and pooled and been a little bit more stagnant in terms of the silt and the other stuff along the bottom, right, and along the banks.
Yeah, I mean, dams stop sediment, natural sediment flows, which is important for the river. So all of the sediment that is behind Kinneytown Dam now should be, you know, in Long Island Sound or, you know, in marshes and that help attenuate coastal flooding. So yes, it's completely disrupted the system. You know, because of the industrial nature of the river, those sediments are not, you know, the cleanest sediment. So what we're doing right now is looking at, you know, we're testing it. We're working with EPA to test those sediments and to find out what's in them so that we understand what we can and can't do when we remove the dam with all those sediments. But the dam's also, you know, it's a flood risk both upstream and downstream. It's preventing people from the communities from accessing the river. You know, so it's having a lot of negative impacts on not just the ecology of the river, but on the people that live near it as well.
Right. And before we go to Rick, that you just led me into my final point. Ultimately, because of the location, condition, and situations that the Kinneytown Dam has caused, there is imminent risk to rail travel and public safety.
Yeah, we saw with the storm in August, you know, heavy flows over the dam washed out a section of the Metro North rail line that's adjacent to the dam, and that cost over $3 million to fix, and it, you know, it disrupted the commutes of, you know, thousands of commuters every day for months. And that problem has not gone away. The rail is still right there. The highway is still right there. You know, the fact that the dam is there increases the risk of flood upstream. There's a dam safety, you know, if the dam was to fail, there's a serious risk downstream as well. So, you know, with removing the dam, we're tackling all of these problems all at once.
Fantastic.
Permanently.
So thank you, Aaron. So Rick, first, thanks for having me here. This is great to chat in person once in a while.
Well, thanks for having us, John.
Yeah,
we really appreciate it.
This project is really incredible, but also bringing a lot of progress to date. Last we spoke, we were getting ready for the first information session. These information sessions have continued. Public engagement and transparency have obviously been of critical importance to the success ultimately that you hope to offer when the project is done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're talking about a river that spans the Naugatuck from Seymour to Ansonia. It affects two communities in a substantial way. It's actually a series of dams and spreads over over many, many acres. So it's an important project by its location, but it's also an important project because it is the lowest and the largest dam on the Naugatuck River. It's the first dam you encounter when you come up from Long Island Sound along the Housatonic and up the Naugatuck. And as Aaron talked earlier about the industrialization of the river, this dam actually went through a second stage where it became a hydroelectric generating facility. Atlantic Richfield created that when they owned the Brass in the 70s, and then in the 80s and 90s converted it to be a grid supplier of electricity. So, you know, the effort is to remove the defunct hydroelectric and restore the natural river and its function in nature. I mean, it's Long Island Sound watershed advocacy groups, the two largest ones that deal with it, rate this as the single most important project to impact the health of Long Island Sound.
And therefore the globe. And this is what blows my mind
absolutely
every time I think about this project, because Long Island Sound has such a global influence. Yeah.
Well, and there are many benefits, and we tend to focus on the local ones, you know, salmon fishing, sport fishing on the river, a more accessible river. You know, it's interesting to note in Ansonia, they have no access. The river runs the length of the city, and there's no public access to the river at all. So we hope to restore that. But beyond the local, what this project will do is it'll open up about 40 miles of main stem river and probably another 30 miles of tributaries that spawn the feedstock for Atlantic fisheries. So the fish that have for 150 years, 160 years that have not been able to spawn on the Naugatuck has depleted the food source for larger fish in the Atlantic. And so we experience, you know, people complain, fishermen and fishing families complain about limitations that are imposed upon them on their catch. Mm. Well, part of the reason for that, there's a variety of reasons that of the fall off in the Atlantic fishery, but a main reason is the feedstock is disappearing. The herring that run that would spawn on this river would supply an entire ocean, the North Atlantic, with food. So it's important. And it goes from global back to your grocery store and back to your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really important thing that we kind of skip over sometimes because it seems a little too big for people to pull in.
Right, but you get 50,000 people stopping their usage of harmful fertilizer, mm-hmm. or you remove one dam. While it is an incredible feat, both in terms of logistics and engineering, as you pointed out, the results are going to really have impact on the entire globe for decades and centuries perhaps to come.
Absolutely, it's we're going to attack this dam by removing it. Remediating as much of the contamination as is possible in a responsible way, and then open up access for people who live there. Again, like I can't stress enough, the folks in Ansonia not having access to the river. I've lived here all my life. I never actually thought about that.
Mm. Unless they jump off a really high wall.
Off of a flood control wall or, but the immediate access they had in their downtown prior to 55 floods was taken away when the flood control systems were installed. Yeah. So it really is a big deal for Ansonia. It's a big deal for Seymour, but it's a big deal for the larger world.
Yeah. So in the last 5 or 6 minutes that we have, where are we at today, and what are a couple of the points of progress most recent that you're proud of and excited about?
Well, I mean, we've had great assistance from our federal delegation and from Connecticut Deep. They've put resources at our disposal to get this project done. So most immediately, you know, we have to do some improvements to the Seymour Sewage Treatment Plant to reroute their sewage that crosses under the river. That has to happen before we can do anything else. Mm. So our senators and Congresswoman DeLauro, Congresswoman Hayes, Congressman Himes even, who's not in those two towns but has surrounding towns in our region, supported getting us about $4 million currently, and we're waiting on another $1.7 million in appropriations on the federal side to do the sanitary sewer work. So we've got that piece going. We're going to be talking we're talking with the state, and we'll be continuing the discussion about state bonding for the project, which is going to be critical to finishing it up, and matching the federal funds. And then our other engineering team. So there's one engineering team working on the sanitary sewers. There's another engineering team that's assessing the existing conditions of the facility and designing the plan to deconstruct it. We have another legal team because this is a federally authorized dam. It's controlled by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. So we have to acquire it. Which is not quite complete. We're going to put that. We're going to acquire it by using the Connecticut Brownfields Land Bank, which we're affiliated with. So we'll put it into a nonprofit to run the project. NVCOG will continue to administer the funding, and we'll move from acquisition to the deconstruction. But on the licensing side, we have to go through a process of surrendering the hydroelectric licenses and then decommissioning the facility itself. Mm. So, I mean, we've got a couple of years before we're putting a crack in the concrete face of that dam. But I think we're well on our way. We're in good shape. We still need to put together more dollars for the project, but more than enough to have a real project that people can look forward to and see its eventual completion.
Well, it took almost a century and a half for us to get here, but so the progress is comparatively moving at light speed.
We work in a bureaucracy that we're lucky if the things we plan we see come to fruition by the time we get halfway through our career or to our retirement. Big highway projects, other types of large infrastructure projects. They're difficult to pull off in this country. This particular project, lightning speed is, I would say, an underestimation.
Comparatively.
Comparatively, but we're really only into this for 2 years. I mean, we've looked at it for close to 10 years, but we're into this for 2 years. We expect the acquisition of the property to go through in the next 30 or 60 days, a couple hiccups with the current ownership. But we're well on our way. We have half the project dollars lined up for this, and it looks like a short route to getting it done. I feel like if the balance of the funding becomes available quickly, we could have this project finished in 5 years.
That's fantastic. Great. Well, let me give Aaron the last word here. Thank you. Rick Dunn with the Naugatuck Valley Council of Governments. So Aaron Budras, last thoughts on this. As I mentioned when I was talking to Rick, public engagement and transparency are key, certainly with the two major environmental groups and their minions. That's a great beachhead there in terms of public sentiment. But these information sessions and the ability for somebody to really just kind of jump in at any point in the process going forward is the door's wide open to them, right?
Yeah, we've been holding these bi-monthly meetings right in Ansonia and in Seymour to talk to the neighbors, because at the end of the day, you know, there are people that have been living with this in their backyards, literally in their backyards or in their front yards in some cases, in Ansonia especially. And we want to know from them what they want to see in their neighborhood. We want this to look at the end. We want it to benefit them as much as possible. So we're looking for feedback from everybody. And we're having these meetings, and they've been very informative to us. I think they've been informative to the public as well. And they're sort of more of a conversation too. Mm. It's not we're not speaking to people. We're listening as well, and we want to continue this dialogue with the community going forward.
Are you feeling the Seymour and Ansonia Valley love at these meetings? Are people as excited, or some of them as excited about this as you guys are in terms of planning and execution?
There's a lot of excitement. I mean, I think anytime you're talking about doing something in, you know, near people's houses, they're nervous and upset about things. But we're trying to clarify everything and make sure that, you know, we're doing this for the neighbors as well. I feel good about the way the conversation has been going. Mm-hmm. and the way, you know, the direction it's going in, and you know, we're going to be back every couple months to talk to everybody. So
fantastic. Thank you so much. I said we were done with Rick, but Rick, a spectacular amount of information already on the COG website. Just let people know how they can get to it and read up if they want to start to get engaged.
Sure. Well, the website is nvcogct.gov. So it's important to put in the .gov piece. Mm. And they should be able to browse to the Kinneytown project right from the front page, or they can just go to our projects and find it there.
Very good. Thank you so much. Rick Dunn and Aaron Budras here at the Naugatuck Valley Council of Governments are next in a series of conversations on the Kinneytown Dam will be coming your way, I imagine, probably by mid to late summer of 2025. So look forward to talking again. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, John.
Yep.
Thank you.